Somewhere, somehow, we got the idea that God's only desire for America is to bless her, no matter what her people do. We need to get real. God judges nations when they violate His commands. He judged His own nation, Israel, by using the armies of nearby pagan nations against it. Today, more details about God's purposes among the nations and why we should not assume that if you're okay, I'm okay. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series is God and the Nations, and today, from Isaiah chapter 10, Dr. Lutzer comes to speak again about God and the United States, and about how he used Assyria of old.
These Assyrians, and now we're talking centuries, centuries ago, were barbarian. They were ruthless, and they were cruel. And they worship the god Asher. God says, they are my club for Israel. I'm going to send them into Israel because my people have forsaken me, and I'm going to use these people to judge my people. Now, I can imagine every chariot in Israel during those days having a bumper sticker, if chariots have bumpers. And the bumper sticker is, God bless Israel. All that God can do is to bless us. Preachers today on television, many of them, not all of them, but many, all that God is willing to do is to bless you. He'll give you money. He'll give you health. That's all. There's no judgment. There's no need for repentance. He's the God who just blesses. That's His job, like somebody says. I want you to know today that God can also judge. And the terrorist attack coming from evil people with a network of fanatics who are evil, God may indeed use people just like that to humble and to judge America. That is the first principle. There's a second principle of judgment, and I might say, by the way, before we go on to it, that it's also possible for God to sometimes use better nations to judge more evil ones. We would say that that happened during World War II when the Allies ganged up on Nazi Germany, and I would say it also when the United States fought its war in Iraq. So God uses one nation to judge another, but sometimes the most evil nation is His club, His rod. There's a second principle, and that is that God judges the evil nation that He uses. God judges the evil nation. It says in verse 7, but this is not what He intends. Who's the He? The Assyrian, the king of Assyria. What God is saying is, now I intend to use Assyria as this rod, this club, but he isn't saying in his mind, let's obey God and let's go out there and do something for Jehovah. No. He has entirely different intentions. But this is not what he intends. This is not what he has in mind. His purpose is to destroy, to put an end to many nations. God says that's what his purpose is. It is an evil purpose. And because his motive is evil and against me, he will be judged even though I use him. You'll notice what it says now in verses 12 and 13. When the Lord has finished all of his work against Mount Zion and Jerusalem, he will say, I will punish the king of Assyria for the willful pride of his heart and the haughty look in his eyes. For he says, by the strength of my hand I have done this, and by my wisdom, because I have understanding, I removed the boundaries of nations. I plundered their treasures like a mighty one. I subdued their kings. God says he's going to be judged. Specifically, verse 16 says, therefore the Lord God Almighty will send a wasting disease upon his sturdy warriors under his pomp. A fire will be kindled like a blazing flame. God says, I will judge Assyria for its wickedness. Now, you say, well, but God used Assyria. Yes. Somewhere along the line, I came across a story that beautifully illustrates this this juxtaposition between God's will and his sovereignty and human responsibility. There was a nobleman who had a grove of trees that he loved very, very much. In fact, he gave a name to every single tree. But there was an evil neighbor who wanted to do something very wicked to this nobleman. So the neighbor climbed over the fence and spent almost all night sawing down one of the nobleman's most cherished trees. But as the wicked man was trying to leave, he ran in the wrong direction and got pinned to the ground. And there he was. Well, the next morning, the nobleman came to look at his trees, and he had a man with him. And he came across the felled tree, and this man who was pinned under it said in a choked whisper, he said, I got your tree. He knew he was going to be punished, but just the idea that he had cut down the nobleman's favorite tree delighted him. And the nobleman said, the man that I have here is a contractor. And I want him to build me a summer house. And the reason we're taking this walk is that I can show him which tree I intended to have him cut down. Thank you so much for doing my work for me. Now, did that mean that this evil neighbor didn't get judged? Of course he got judged because his intentions were evil. But in his evil work, he still did what the nobleman wanted. And that's the way God is. God says, Assyria, you're judging Israel, but you too will be judged. Rest in the fact that terrorists, not just in America, but around the world, terrorists will be judged by God in this life somewhat indiscriminately, from our standpoint, haphazardly, because some may live to have long lives, but in the end, God's judgment will be meticulously balanced. And we will praise God forever for the accuracy of his judgment. Nothing goes unpunished. There's a third characteristic, and that is that God's purpose is judgment. His purposes in judgment is really twofold. First of all, regarding unbelievers, very quickly, verses 18 and following, the splendor of his forests and fertile fields will be completely destroyed, as when a sick man wastes away, and the remaining trees of his forests will be so few that a child could write them down. He may be talking about the Assyrian soldiers. God says, I'm going to show you my power and my ability to even destroy you. God shows to the wicked the fact that they will not repent even if he shouts from heaven. Now let's apply this to America. Where are we here in the great United States, a nation that has been so wonderfully blessed by God? After the terrorist attack, church attendance increased. I'm told now it is lower than ever. But thankfully, not here at the Moody Church. You know that our attendance has been growing during the last years and continues to grow. And every time I'm here, I see the balcony come out further and further and further. And I say, God be praised, God be praised. But across America today, what you find is a decline in church attendance. And so what we have is just a blip on the screen. The Tribune, after 9/11, came out with an article that said it's okay to talk about evil now. It even suggested that maybe we lived in the end of the postmodern age, where evil was not admitted into public discourse. But somehow all that is forgotten and lost, is it not? And what we have in our society today is taking out God's laws. God is being pushed back onto the reservation. The public square is being scrubbed clean of anything that has to do with God. God is not supposed to inform or to govern or to control what politicians might do. And that's the nation in which we live. I want you to know, regardless of what you think of Judge Moore in Alabama, whom I met yesterday, by the way, I was speaking at Promise Keepers in Atlanta, 15,000 men at Promise Keepers in Atlanta. You want to hear something that's good about America? Think back to what God is doing in so many different areas of this great nation. But Judge Moore, who was there, was telling us, and showing us really, and I spoke to one of his attorneys, that constitutionally, if you look strictly at the Constitution, those Ten Commandments had a place there in the Supreme Court building. Those commandments, constitutionally, should have belonged there. Now, we can argue whether or not this was really the cause to fight and say this or that, but I'll tell you what is happening is there are judges in America today who are no longer interpreting the Constitution and interpreting the law. They are making up the law in the United States of America. Now, let me ask you, what happens when law no longer rules? The vacuum is filled with power. Let me give you an illustration from our childhood days. Fourth grade, here's me. And I have a teacher by the name of Mrs. Watson. Mrs. Watson was a meticulous disciplinarian, a good teacher, though. Good, fair, but tough. She had certain rules for our playground, you know, because we used to play various games that I won't tell you about because I'm in a too good a mood right now to go into that. But the rules were, you shall not hit one another, you shall not talk naughty to one another, you shall share all of the equipment, the sports equipment, and so forth. And every once in a while, she came out of the schoolhouse during recess just to check on how the kids were playing. And we played reasonably well. Very few hassles when Mrs. Watson was there with her rules. Now, let's suppose we say, you know, these rules sound Christian. In fact, Mrs. Watson, God bless her, she is an informed Christian, and we can't have those laws. And so what we need to do is to take the rules, and we need to get rid of them, and we need to get rid of her too. Now let me ask you a question. Whose will survive out on the playing field when the rules are no longer there and no one enforcing them? You can answer that. The school bully. Whatever he wants will go. And I'm going to speak to you candidly. In America today, there are people who do not respect the rule of law or the rule of morality, and they are into one thing and one thing alone, and that is power. Well, my friend, today this is Pastor Lutzer. The whole relationship between church and state is much more complicated than we sometimes want to make it. Because on the one hand, while we have to respect other religions and give them freedom of conscience, the fact is that the Judeo-Christian base of America cannot be doubted, and now we're moving from it. Well, in these closing seconds, may I urge you to simply pray for this great country. May we return to those truths that have made nations great. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has given us part two of God and the United States, another in his six-part series on God and the nations. Tomorrow, join us for some final thoughts about how far the land of the free has moved from the God of the Bible. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our current series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. When you call, ask about God and the nations. For information about many other ministry resources from Moody Church, visit our website at runningtowin.org. Don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners just like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.